理课堂听 class.com。
The fortune teller had stopped at a caravan with the word "freaks" painted on it in large, sloppy letters. The letters were smeared and dripping in several places, as if the paint was still wet. But the word was so faded that the Baudelaires knew the caravan had been labelled many years ago. Next to the caravan was a shabby tent, with several holes in it and a sign reading, "Welcome to the House of Freaks," with a small drawing of a girl with three eyes. Madame Lulu strode past the sign to knock on the caravan's wooden door.
"Freaks!" Madame Lulu cried. "Please wake up, please. New freaks are here for you to say hello."
"Just a minute, Madame Lulu," called a voice from behind the door.
"No, just a minute, please," Madame Lulu said. "Now! I am the boss of the carnival."
The door swung open to reveal a sleepy-looking man with a hunchback, a word which here means a back with a hump near the shoulder, giving the person a somewhat irregular appearance. He was wearing a pair of pyjamas that were ripped at the shoulder to make room for his hunchback, and holding a small candle to help him see in the dark.
"I know you are the boss, Madame Lulu," the man said, "but it's the middle of the night. Don't you want your freaks to be well rested?"
"Madame Lulu does not particularly care about slip of freaks," Lulu said haughtily. "Please be telling the new freaks what to do for show tomorrow. The freak with two heads will be eating corn, please, and the little wolf freak will be attacking audience."
"Violence and sloppy eating," the man said and sighed.
"Oh, I guess the crowd will like that."
"Of course crowd will like," Lulu said, "and then Carnival will get much money."
"And then maybe you'll pay us?" the man asked.
"Fat chance, please," Madame Lulu replied. "Good night, freaks."
"Good night, Madame Lulu," replied Violet, who would rather have been called a proper name, even if it was one she invented, than simply Freak. But the fortune-teller walked away without looking back. The Baudelaires stood in the doorway of the caravan for a moment, watching Lulu disappear into the night, before looking up at the man and introducing themselves a bit more properly.
"My name is Beverly," Violet said. "My second head is named Elliot, and this is Charbo, the wolf baby."
"Rah!"
growled Sonny.
"I'm Hugo," the man said. "It'll be nice to have new co-workers. Come on inside the caravan and I'll introduce you to the others."
Still finding it awkward to walk, Violet and Klaus followed Hugo inside, and Sunny followed her siblings, preferring to crawl rather than walk, because it made her seem more half-wolf. The caravan was small, but the children could see by the light of Hugo's candle that it was tidy and clean. There was a small wooden table in the centre, with a set of dominoes stacked up in the centre, and several chairs grouped around. In one corner was a rack with clothing hung on it, including a long row of identical coats, and a large mirror so you could comb your hair and make sure you looked presentable. There was a small stove for cooking meals, with a few pots and pans stacked alongside it, and a few potted plants lined up near the window so they would get enough sunlight. Violet would have liked to add a small workbench she could use while inventing things. Klaus would have been pleased to be squinting at some bookshelves, and Sunny would have preferred to see a stack of raw carrots or other foods that are pleasant to bite, but otherwise the caravan looked like a cosy place to live. The only thing that seemed to be missing was some place to sleep. But as Hugo walked farther into the room, the children saw that there were three hammocks, which are long, wide pieces of cloth used for beds, hanging from places on the walls. One hammock was empty. The Baudelaire supposed this was where Hugo slept, but in another they could see a tall, skinny woman, with curly hair, squinting down at them, and in the third was a man with a very wrinkled face, who was still asleep.
"Kevin,"
Hugo called up to the sleeping man.
"Kevin, get up. We have new co-workers, and I'll need help setting up more hammocks."
The man frowned and glared down at Hugo.
"I wish you hadn't woke me up," Kevin said. "I was having a delightful dream that there was nothing wrong with me at all instead of being a freak."